5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily jab of truth.
I heard that it doesn't cure it and it doesn't stop you from getting it.
No, it's a very, you don't even feel sick. It's like you don't even know you got infected.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
So I'm not going to be lining up taking a shot for something that wasn't clear in the first place. And then you all create a shot and miraculous time. And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with. Because when you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea. 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. And it's safe and effective. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
So what is it about that gentleman you just heard, that clip that we played for you several days ago, that has now mushroom clouded into the millions upon millions of views? That man speaks the truth on his stoop to Muriel Bowser and Tony Fauci. How is it that he can see everything that we can see, and yet there are millions upon millions of other people who will keep going back for more, keep going back for more, keep paying attention to the lies, never waver, never question, never doubt, never move from that position? They are clone trooper activated. Why? Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Remember, we've got a podcast, 400,000 downloads strong and growing. Wherever you get your favorite podcasts, just plug in Wendy Bell Radio. Give us a follow if you can. That's so helpful to us. We appreciate that. Answer that to me. It is so common sense to me. I want to scream it from the mountaintops. Wake up. What are you doing? The friend of mine who's little boy, who's jabbed and boosted, and he's 6, who all of a sudden has these very strange lethargic chunks of his life. He's up in the morning, he'll eat breakfast, and then he sleeps the rest of the day. Doesn't want to go outside. He isn't hungry. He's got total malaise. I just can't figure it out. I don't know what's going on. Oh, I don't know. What could it possibly be? Do I know for a fact? No. But do I have questions? Yes. And are you allowed to? Yes, but not in Joe Biden's America. You need to get in line and acquiesce to every request. And when you don't, then they start offering you the money. And when you don't do that, then they start getting angry at you. And then they start yelling at you. And then they start the threats. Ladies and gentlemen, we saw the entire emotional abuse spectrum. Ask anybody who's ever been abused emotionally or physically in their life. This is exactly the same steps of this government. It's disgusting. And I'm sorry that I'm angry, but by golly, I'm not sorry that I'm angry. I want to scream to my neighbors who have the 1,000 bumper stickers on their car. I don't want to judge everybody who drives a Subaru or a freaking Prius. I don't want to judge everybody who walks around and looks the way they look with multicolored hair, who dresses slovenly and hops in a car that I know who you are. I know how you think. Don't you see that you've been hypnotized? And because you, I don't know what it is, because you're insecure, because you've gone through a failing education system that allowed you to be a victim your whole life, that pushed you through and failed you through rather than standing up and saying, whoa, we got a problem here. Nobody can freaking read. Nobody knows basic math. How are we graduating a generation of students that will be inept, incompetent? The only tool they have is outrage. It's not critical thinking. It's not free thinking. It's about being spoon-fed a narrative so that you're the next generation of clone trooper. You know who these people are. You see them coming a mile away. And I wish I had the antidote. I wish I could be, wake up, stop. But some will not be saved. And that sucks. I was at the grocery store yesterday. Joe and I are grocery shopping. Tater tots, $6.39. Are you out of your ever-loving mind? Everything off the charts. People aren't buying stuff anymore, ladies and gentlemen. We've crossed that critical threshold now. Whatever savings they've had is gone. Whatever they thought they got from the CARES Act has evaporated. And by the way, when your refund that you're expecting doesn't come, party's over. People's disposable income has been disposed of. Our credit card debt, holy cow. Brock, what do you think the average individual has on their credit? I'm not talking household. What do you think the average individual has on their credit card?
Of all their credit cards or just one? Each individual?
Their credit card debt,
okay,
collectively.
I'm going to say $14,000.
$8,200. $8,600, excuse me.
That's the average.
Yes, and I beg your pardon. The average U.S. household owes $8,600 on credit cards. This is according to WalletHub. U.S. credit card debt, my friend, surpasses $1 trillion for the first time in history. I remember being a young girl. Well, I mean, vis-a-vis who I am today. I was a teenager. And my dad sat down with my sister and me, and he's like, look, we need to have a conversation about credit cards. If you don't have the money right now to buy something, do not be putting it on a credit card. Do not be carrying around this debt. And I'm like, I don't understand how that works. And he walks through it. This is what we need to be teaching in high school. Not pronouns. Not step in the transgender closet as Johnny and come out Jamie, and that's who you are. That's fantastic. Teach this. Teach basics. You do not spend what you do not have. And by the way, minimum wage jobs are intended to be entry level so that you leave them. You get your feet wet here. I got my feet wet at Yogurt Delight. That's where I got my feet wet, where I had to work lousy shifts after school for demanding kids to come in and ask for yogurt with all the toppings. Blah, 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 blah. I had to sanitize the equipment. I had to mop the floor. I had to wipe off their fingerprints from the cases. I had to do all of it. Do you know where I worked for less than a year? Yogurt Delight. Why? I got it. Time for me to do something else. And then I went to Foot Locker. One might argue that's not much of a step up, but whatever. At least I got a chunk of some commissions there selling expensive basketball sneakers to people. Got a little piece of the pie. And then I moved up. And I worked for a catering company. I worked in front of a grill every single weekend of my summer for a couple years. Doing corporate picnics, grilling ribs and chicken and burgers, sweating my ears off. Little bit more pay, though. You don't buy what you can't afford, unless, of course, you have no money and can't afford food. U.S. credit card debt surpassing $1 trillion for the first time in history as more and more Americans have to borrow just to get by. This is tragic. This is failure. Failure. Consumers took on an additional $92.2 billion in debt last year for the first time, according to a new study on the personal finance website WalletHub, pushing their average household credit card debt, $8,600. The article suggests that people are charging more to their credit cards because they're saving, which absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. WalletHub, stop trying to be political and make excuses. Janet Yellen, I want you to hear what this cat had to say. Lying to your face. All is well. Remain calm. What you think is going on with $6.39 tater tots, which 6 months ago cost $3.50, it's really not an epidemic. It's not a problem. Just ask the Treasury Secretary.
And take an economy that is performing very well. We've had the fastest recovery from a downturn that we've ever seen, and the fastest recovery of any nation around the globe. The unemployment rate is near a 50-year low. The economy is doing well, and it would threaten all of that.
How do you guys feel about that? Is the economy doing well according to your bank ledgers? Everything's doing great for you? Fantastic stuff, right? Right. That's why this poll, 72% say Joe Biden's America is heading in the wrong direction. Well, no kidding. 72% of American adults believe the nation heading on the wrong track under President Joe Biden's leadership, if one could call it that. That's up 4 points since just December. This is a Monmouth University poll yesterday. While their view of the nation has worsened since December, 22% of Americans say things in the nation are heading in the right direction, down from 28% in December. In what world are these people living? Or are they, of course, unable to admit that everything sucks and the guy in charge bears the brunt of that sucking? Since September 2021, the right direction number has fluctuated between 10 and 31%. September of 2021 was the month of the deadly Afghan withdrawal that led to the Taliban gaining control of the country. Before the pandemic, 37% of the nation was heading in the right direction under former President Trump. Really? 37% right direction. Last time I checked, we had record low inflation. We had record low unemployment. Businesses were building and booming again. 72%. That doesn't jive with another poll that says Joe Biden would beat Donald Trump. Are you out of your mind? They want you to believe the unbelievable. You know what? And you might believe that the arthritis pain, I've chronicled mine. It's this little part of my wrist right here and my feet. It sucks getting older, right? You're like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to take another Advil. I don't want to pump things through my body. I don't want to be dependent on medicine. But what if you could rub something, some cream that's infused with CBD into your aching muscles and have the pain go away? Well, that's what happens when you get the salve, the oil, the roll-on, the gummies that help with anxiety and the inability to sleep, right? From CBDistillery.com. CBDistillery.com, I use their products. I can tell you they work. And if you haven't tried them yet, now is a great time too. 20% off anything you want to buy. CBDistillery.com. Use my name, Wendy, as the promo code, and that will take 20% off at checkout. CBDistillery.com. Try it. See if it works for you. I know it works for me. All right, quick timeout. We're not done with this whole theory yet, that everything that this guy is touching, everything that the Democrats are doing is costing us. What? MSNBC even says it? When you lose MSNBC, ladies and gentlemen, that's not good. The proof next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. You know, and here's the thing with the food. I mean, should anybody in America ever be hungry? Of course not. This Breitbart article, food prices increasing under Biden, fueling American hunger, as nearly a quarter of Americans sometimes don't get enough to eat. An Urban Institute study revealed Tuesday. When Biden became president, 20% of Americans said they sometimes could not afford enough food. So one in five of us. That number spiked to 25% at the end of 2022, a 23% increase in a single year. The study also revealed that 63% of adults reported their household grocery costs increased a lot last year. Yes, hello. The adults most impacted under Biden's leadership were Hispanic and Black adults. Listen to some of this stuff. In the past year, prices have spiked for eggs, up 70%. Dairy, up 14%. Cereal, 16%. Cookies, 16%. Overall food prices increased by 10% between December 2021 and December 2022, hitting a 40-year high for inflation. And Janet Yellen wants you to know everything's great. You're just imagining things. Food prices were among the most impacted by Biden's price hike. Next to food costs, 55% felt the pain of gasoline price hikes. Of course we did. 26% impacted by heating costs, 26% child care. Thank God they're on strike in Los Angeles, teachers, or the ancillary workers there. Thank goodness. What do you got, 400,000 students who can't go to school? That'll help parents. 12% hike in health insurance. 8% mortgage payment hike. Because of recent price increases, 62% of adults whose grocery costs increased a lot reported either reducing the amount of food they bought or not buying the kinds of food they wanted. 43% withdrew money from savings to feed their families. And 36% increased credit card debt, hence the $1 trillion in debt we have. About 16% received charitable food. MSNBC is reporting on this. Janet Yellen, I don't know what world you're living in, sister, but we are tired of your lies. America is struggling. Here's MSNBC.
As economists warn of financial troubles to come, there is growing evidence that the average American household just isn't ready, isn't preparing, and has no fail-safe. All of it laid out in worrisome detail in an NBC report on how savings accounts are shrinking and debt levels rising, leaving more consumers on shaky footing. Americans spent about half of the savings they accrued during the pandemic, more than $1 trillion. Credit card balances jumped $61 billion to a record high at the end of 22. And auto loan debt, it's up $94 billion.
You know, when you have money, you have freedom. When you have savings, you have dreams, you have potential, you have a light at the end of the tunnel, you have hope. You can cyber shop for overly expensive real estate, and whether or not you ever can afford it, it's at least somewhat feasible in your mind. When you spend half of your savings in 1 year, when you rack up debt, you become dependent. This is where they want us. This is how you explain a giant, ridiculously bloated government apparatus. This is what Donald Trump wants to break up. Limited government, responsible decisions. Open up the pipeline, create the jobs. Fill up the reserve, fortify the military, strengthen our borders, build the wall, close the gaps, prosecute the cartels, run them the hell out of town, get activist teachers out of our schools, give parents control. It's not complicated, but it is MAGA. And to the Uniparty and to the left, it is the greatest threat to their plan to destroy us. Look, I didn't believe that long ago either. How could it be that people in charge ostensibly want us to be doomed? Make no mistake, that's why. Make sure you got a lot of bugs on hand to eat, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that the overarching idea here? Hey, we've got a story we got to drop on you. It's about guns. Good guys with guns. I've got it next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program. You know, it was really needed to hear Donald Trump say those things that he said that we brought you in the first hour of this program, where in just about 3.5 minutes, he laid out the framework of his plan to reclaim America, to take it back from all of the people who have a price tag. And I wonder why it is, the same way I wonder why some people can be hypnotized and others can't. Why is it there that there's that percentage of people who question, who are suspicious, who are thoughtful, who do their due diligence, who read and research, who want to make their own decisions, who aren't quick to be manipulated or to be pushed in a specific direction just because someone with some kind of a credential after their name or a title tells them to do so? Why is that? Why is it that that man in Washington, D.C., who arguably is living in an urban area, does not have a lot of money, has the exact opposite approach as the relatively wealthy people who live in relatively rich neighborhoods, who hook, line, and sinker fall for everything? Why is that? I don't know. I do know that one of the things that prevents the takeover of a society, one of the last mechanisms of control, is to take away a citizen's firearms. That is why the flag, like the one behind me here in the studio that I have at home, has the Second Amendment on it. And I've long kind of scoffed in a light way of saying it at all of these arguments that if you take away and you make it harder for law-abiding citizens to get firearms that they're constitutionally enabled to get, right, that somehow that's going to move the needle and crime is somehow going to go down. See, criminals obviously don't follow the rules. They don't go to a gun store. They don't lawfully buy things. They get things on the street or they steal them. When they break into your house the way they broke into my house multiple times before I got locked loaded and our home swarming with security cameras. Every single thing the left pushes is completely indefensible. And if you call them on it in a reasonable, rational way, they will then rely on feelings and accusations because they don't have the facts to defend themselves. Case in point. So this argument that making it harder for you and for me to buy guns or to limit what kind of a firearm you can get or to limit the size of the magazine or to limit anything is going to do anything other than restrict your rights. I don't see how people don't understand that. Some of the places with the most strict gun laws. Think Chicago, think LA, think Illinois, think California. Have the highest crime. Gun related. Newsflash. Thugs are going to be thugs. Whether or not you say, oh, you need to register that. Oh, really? How about no? So when I stumbled upon this article in the Washington Times, something that Donald Trump said in his soliloquy earlier in the program struck a nerve. We got to root out the corruption in our alphabet agencies, the FBI, the Department of Justice. Get these people out, the people who come after us because we believe in God or we believe in our children. We want to stand up for what's right. We're not the ones to be worried about, of course, unless you are about destroying the country. So this article, good guys, guns save lives more often than reported. There's a reason why the videos that pop up on my Twitter feed that show a woman walking down the street and a guy getting out of his car, nighttime video, and obviously trying to drag her into his car. And then you see the pop, pop, flash, flash of her firing a gun, him dropping like a sack of potatoes, and her running away. There's a reason why those things go viral. Because good guy incidents happen all the time. You're just not told about it. Because anybody who carries a gun is supposed to be some kind of a wacko. Don't you make me unsafe? I guarantee you, if you're in a grocery store and somebody comes in with guns blazing who's ready to shoot up the place, you'll be pretty daggone happy when the lady next to you, who's trained, because that's what responsible gun owners do, pulls out their firearm and is poised to drop the offender before they can do any real damage. How about this? FBI limits database on active shooting cases. Oh, it's such a stretch, isn't it? What? The FBI not telling the truth? Get out of here. Here's your story. Mercedes Perez crashed her car into another car on a San Antonio street in 2021, then jumped out with a gun and blazed away at neighbors who'd come out of their homes to see what had happened. She killed one man, the car's owner, and wounded his wife and his son before another neighbor heard the shooting, grabbed his gun, ran to the scene, and killed Perez with a shot to the neck. John Lott, founder of the Crime Prevention Research Center, said it's a case of a good guy with a gun stopping a bad guy with a gun. Yet the incident was left out of the FBI's database of active shooting incidents. Mr. Lott says it's one of dozens of such incidents missing from the Bureau's statistics, which he said has fueled a false narrative that only rarely do good guys with guns stop shootings. The FBI says the rate of active shooting incidents ended by good guys with guns is 4.4% over the years. Mr. Lott says it's 34.4%. The FBI's conclusions are widely cited, particularly as a new shooting or new shootings revive old debates about gun control and whether more access to weapons is safer or more dangerous. When an armed citizen does intervene, and it draws national headlines, as happened at an Indiana mall food court last year, news accounts are quick to point to the FBI's findings as evidence that it's a rarity. The FBI's numbers have also been used in court cases, and they pepper legislative debates on Capitol Hill and in state assemblies. Mr. Lott says the numbers are so distorted by shoddy work and judgment calls that they're not just worthless, but also misleading. It's garbage, he said to the Washington Times. They should be embarrassed. The FBI's active shooter definition is different from all shootings or even mass shootings. The FBI says it covers instances in which someone with a firearm is, quote, actively engaged in killing or attempting to kill people in a populated area. The point is to zero in on instances of ongoing use of a weapon and where intervention could affect the outcome. Instances of self-defense, drug and gang violence, hostage situations, and domestic disputes are discounted. Mr. Lott says there are several sources of error. The first of the FBI's reliance on news accounts. What could go wrong with that? Which he said are less likely to cover instances of good guys with guns. Then there are the judgment calls about what meets the definition of an active shooter case. It sort of depends on what your definition of is. The FBI says it's when a gun is used in confrontation outside of a criminal incident, such as a domestic violence or drug dealing. There are also judgment calls about who qualifies as a regular citizen or, quote, good guy. The FBI says a security guard doesn't count. When those judgments are bungled, the data suffers. In 2019, the FBI counted 30 active shooter incidents and said none was stopped by an armed citizen. Mr. Lott says the Bureau missed 11 incidents altogether and misclassified another one. That was a December 29th shooting at a church in White Settlement, Texas, that the FBI listed as stopped by a security guard. That meant it didn't count as a good guy with a gun. Mr. Lott spoke to the shooter, a man by the name of Jack Wilson, who says he wasn't a security guard, but just a member of the congregation. Mr. Wilson also probably said 20 other members of the congregation were armed that day as well. Why would one do that? Why would one want to lie about the circumstances of somebody who dropped a shooter who went into it in an environment with the intent to do harm? Anything to sully the reputation of people who uphold and believe in the Second Amendment. In 2021, the FBI listed 61 active shooter incidents, with perhaps four stopped by armed citizens. Mr. Lott said he found 112 total incidents, 55 of which were stopped by a good guy with a gun. That included a Syracuse, New York case in August in which a man threatened and then fired at people. Another man, identified by local press as Richard Moroz, a property manager, returned fire with a legally possessed handgun and killed the attacker. It appears that Mr. Moroz saved the lives of several individuals, the district attorney's office said, according to Syracuse.com. Yet the FBI did not include it in its count. In an August 2021 case, the Bureau left out of its calculations a Florida barbershop owner who shot the hip of a man pointing a gun at customers. Patrons then disarmed the man, according to a report by Florida Today. From 2014 to 2021, Mr. Lott said he counted 124 cases that the FBI missed of an armed civilian stopping an active shooter. Asked whether his numbers might be skewed toward good guy incidents, Mr. Lott says he looks for all kinds of active shooter cases, but the FBI seems to flag the other ones. The cases they're missing are systematically just the ones where people use guns to stop the attacks. It sounds like cherry-picking data, doesn't it? It almost sounds like the same vein of cherry-picking the video in a commission to push out to the American people to create the illusion of a narrative that is phony and bogus at the onset. Of course, the narrative in this instance is that guns kill people. By golly, that if there's not a hand wrapped around it, that trigger's going to go off and it's going to kill somebody. Factually, obviously insane, and you know it. And so do they. But with every school shooting, with every domestic, with every lunatic who for whatever reason psychologically believes that they need to kill somebody, people are going to do these things, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know about you, but I feel a hell of a lot safer when I know I'm around a bunch of like-minded people who, like me, are armed and trained and ready. The Disc Institute of Pittsburgh. How many years of business? 30? That Dr. Rafferty has been helping people with bulging or herniated degenerative discs in their back or neck? 10,000 satisfied patients. You can read their testimonials. Some of them will literally bring you to tears because people have been so debilitated by the pain of sciatica, stenosis, and degenerative disc disease. And then they go see Dr. Rafferty, and he does the MRI, and he reads the results, and he says, you know what? I want you to try intra-disc neutrosis. You don't have to have surgery. It's a therapy. You've got to have a commitment of time. You got to spend some time at it. But yes, your discs can heal themselves. And that's what they do. 98% successful. 412-906-9600. 412-906-9600. Doesn't matter where you live, you can get in touch with them today. PittsburghDiscInstitute.com. PittsburghDiscInstitute.com. Look, they want to create a narrative that we're all out there like a Wild West. We're going to shoot and kill people left and right, willy-nilly, crazy town. No, the real narrative is something much different, and you know it. Coming up, I want to open the conversation to what Ron DeSantis decided to do. Talking to Piers Morgan. Uh-oh. Poll data doesn't like that. I have that for you next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. You know, if I were Ron DeSantis, I'm not so sure I would choose Piers Morgan as the guy I would do a sit-down hour-long interview with. I don't know. I think it's coming out tomorrow, right? We're getting some snippets about it. Is that the story, Brock?
I'm not sure I will do my due diligence, right, and watch it on Fox Nation.
So whatever. I mean, I think we all have to be exceedingly aware of messaging, aware of who is endorsing whom, aware of how that makes you feel. And you know what? I believe, obviously, Ron DeSantis is ultimately going to throw his hat in the ring. It'll be the worst kept secret, you know, ever. But that's what he's going to do. I mean, why would you go on Piers Morgan? Piers Morgan, who completely selectively edited his sit-down interview with Donald Trump and got busted for it. I mean, it just, it's a curious decision. And apparently it's not really doing well. People are not really liking Ron DeSantis in some circles out there. Trump surges in another poll as DeSantis sees lowest support since December. Former President Donald Trump has surged to the largest lead yet in the 2024 GOP primary. Latest survey showing Trump with a 54% to 26% advantage over Governor Ron DeSantis, marking a sizable 28-point gap. We could be seeing a rally-around effect due to the potential indictment. This is on trendingpoliticsnews.com if you're interested. If the primary or the caucus were held today, more than half of potential Republican primary voters would support Trump. Only about a quarter would back DeSantis. DeSantis is the second choice of 46% of those who supporting Trump, while 43% of DeSantis supporters view Trump as their backup. Now, this is the part where things get kind of weird. In a hypothetical head-to-head matchup, all right, and riddle me this. Prices are through the roof. Supply chain issue is far from resolved. You've got climate wackos in Jennifer Granholm and Pete Buttigieg. You've got the debacle in East Palestine, Ohio, where the president clearly put his finger in their eye and said, screw off, as he bailed out the banks, right? You've got the bank collapse. You've got other banks teetering on the edge. The people in charge of those banks rewarding themselves before the crumble with multi-million dollar bonuses, right? You've got rampant fentanyl deaths. You've got a wide open border. You have migrants who now are asking to leave New York because it sucks and they want a one-way bus ticket out of town to Canada. And Eric Adams is granting that. And you mean to tell me that Joe Biden would beat Donald Trump? Are you out of your ever-loving mind? Please. In a hypothetical head-to-head matchup, Biden is shown to have a 3-point lead over Trump and a 2-point lead over DeSantis.
To me, though, who are they asking? Where is this polling done? And we learned in 2016 that people lie to the pollsters. Why? They don't trust them. And they don't want to be labeled.
They don't want to be labeled.
They don't want to be labeled and be attacked by the IRS, by the Democrats.
I don't know. I'm kind of over it. I think you're going to have a whole breed of people who are like, screw you.
But you're what screw I call part you. Of the 10 to 20%.
I don't care
you're
what people
done.
Think.
You're done.
I am done.
A lot of people still care.
I am done. Well, maybe you're correct. So on January 2nd, a Trump-DeSantis head-to-head, according to Interactive polls, showed Trump was up by 11. February 25th, it showed Trump up by 18. March 14th, it showed Trump up by 24. March 19th, Trump up by 28. So that was just 3 days ago. 28. Of course, the whole indictment thing coming out. So it's interesting. Who is aligning with Ron DeSantis? Who is it? The Bushes.
Karl Rove.
Ugh. Really?
Ryan.
Paul Ryan. So you're seeing some rhino uniparty Republicans.
Oh, yeah. That's who
he
has behind
him. But then you also have
him.
Chip Roy.
Who
we like very much. So it's just, I'm telling you, it's just something to pay attention to. And then why would DeSantis choose Piers Morgan? And if Fox News is supporting Ron DeSantis, and you can tell they are, I think you have a lot of questions in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Trump has one vision, I believe. It's getting back in power to unravel what's been done. We'll see. We'll pay attention to what Ron DeSantis has to say. I believe it's tomorrow. We'll bring it to you. All right, quick timeout. When we come back, when defunded cops don't answer your calls for help, I think the best thing to be is a victim, right? We'll take you to San Francisco next on the Wendy Bell Radio program.